Are you ready for a profound, deep teaching today on the Line of Fire? Well, get ready for three words: love one another.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. I had very different plans for the broadcast today. As you hear my voice, I should be en route to Israel for a couple days of ministry in Israel, then a couple days of ministry back in Germany where I just was, and then back home with special broadcasts coming your way this week from Israel and Germany, God willing. I plan to use a broadcast, one of our archive broadcasts that I thought you'd enjoy today. And I just got a burden. It's very late in my schedule to do this, but I just got a burden to talk to you, my dear listening friends today on the Line of Fire, about a serious need in the body today and a very serious commandment in Scripture that we are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. Maybe you've heard the story of how a little girl broke it down, what it meant to love one another. She went up to another child and said, "Well, I'm one and you're another, so I should love you." But the Scripture puts a tremendous emphasis on this, friends. And I am just so burdened about the tearing apart of the body by people attacking each other, by fleshly and carnal judgment, by lack of love in our communication. I'm all for exposing false doctrine. I'm all for calling people in error to repent. I'm all for speaking the truth in love. But let us walk in love and act in love and have the heart of God. And even if we believe someone is lost or deceived or misled, our hearts should break for that person. So we're going to open up the Scriptures. And perhaps the Lord will use this to speak to you. Obviously, I'm not going to be taking calls on today's broadcast, but please listen with an open heart and mind, and even stop and pray, God, if there's something for me here, speak it to me. As I go through the Scriptures and do some special teaching on the Line of Fire today, that's my prayer for myself as well. Any blind spots, things lacking in my heart, things that may be obvious, lack of love, God, help me to see. Peter writes this in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verse 7. "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Above all, love each other deeply. And then earlier in the book, Peter had written this, 1 Peter 1:22, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God." I remember being with a pastor one time, and when we left the congregation, we left the service, he said to me, "Oh, I just love them so much." Here's a pastor that probably gets called on all hours of day and night, that it wasn't a big church, so people would be looking to him for everything. And certainly, I'm sure he's had his ups and downs with the congregation, and people haven't always treated him right, but he was a real shepherd, and he had a real shepherd's heart. What was he expressing? He was expressing God's love. He was expressing God's heart. And I believe even as God looks at us and has to correct us and rebuke us, he does it with an extraordinary tenderness of heart for us. And I'm praying that through this broadcast today that God would tenderize our hearts one for another and give us a sincere and deep and true fervent love for one another. I'm one, you're another. Let's do it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Friends, can I give you a little background on today's broadcast? As I'm speaking to you right now, it is not your normal radio time. If you're listening live and looking at the clock, that's not what time it is. Where I am right now, it is early in the morning. It is past 1 in the morning. And as you're listening to me right now, I should be en route to Israel. So I put the show together immediately before leaving for Israel. And I had planned on using an archived show, as I mentioned in the first segment, which we do from time to time on a travel day or when it's kind of unavoidable, you know, maybe Christmas holiday or something like that. We use an archived show. But otherwise, I feel a tremendous responsibility and burden before the Lord to be with you live every day that I can, to give a kingdom perspective on what's happening in the news and the world around us, to bring words of encouragement and strength. Someone contacted me the other day with a question. They said, hey, I'm catching up on your podcasts, and they had a question for me. And I thought, what a blessing that someone takes the time to listen to the shows and catches up if they've missed them. And I know many of you do that. You listen regularly. Others, every opportunity you have to flip on the radio, you do it. I feel a sense of responsibility to you before the Lord. And I plan to use this archive show, and then it's where I am right now. It is past 1 in the morning, and this would be a time now where I'm not going to be recording radio. I might be writing or reading or studying or praying, but either way, it's time to be kind of winding down. And I thought, no, I'm finished packing for Israel. I'm ready to go. I've got to do this. So please take this to heart. I don't speak these words lightly. But we have a crisis in the body today of a lack of love. Even when we have differences, we can have differences with love. Even if we feel someone is in error, we can feel they're in error and have a great burden of love for them. Even when someone is walking in sin and disobeying the Lord and bringing reproach to the name of the Lord, our hearts can still break with love for that person. And in the book of Jeremiah, God said that whenever he spoke against Israel, in Jeremiah the 31st chapter, that his heart always longed for his people. Even in the strongest rebuke, there was deep love coming through it. Jesus said in Revelation 3, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. I read a story about D.L. Moody in England years back, and he met with an influential, committed atheist. And this atheist really had a problem with Christian beliefs and with religion. And Moody got a private audience with him and spoke with him. And afterwards, this atheist Christian friends approached him and said, so did you meet with Moody? He said, yes, I did. He said, did you have a good talk with him? Yes, I did. Did you give him a hearing? He said, yes, I did. He said, did he talk to you about heaven and hell? Well, yes, he did. And you gave him a hearing? Yes. Well, you never give us a hearing when we talk about that. And he said, Moody did it with tears. I don't mean that we always have to have tears, but people should know if we love them. It should be something that they can feel or sense. And if they don't, because of the hardness of their heart or the deception that they're in, all the more are we burdened for them. In Jeremiah 13, Jeremiah brings a difficult word, another heavy word for the leadership, the royalty in his country, and then says, if you don't listen, I'll weep in secret. His heart broke. I remember some years ago, we had a couple, a great young couple, really loved this couple and really enjoyed spending time with them and watching God use them. And they really had an issue with what we might call traditional church. In other words, gather on a Sunday morning, sing your songs, have your sermon, go home, and that's the main meeting of the week. They were thinking, that's like old-fashioned, or that's denominational, or whatever issues they had. They were great people, that they had a love for the Lord, but they had this attitude that was somewhat judgmental towards a large part of the church, at least in America. And God laid it on their heart to start attending a local church that was part of a denomination and a traditional Sunday service and traditional leadership structure with the pastor and so on. And God laid it on their heart to begin going there and serving there and then working with the young people there. And I remember when I next saw them, I said, boy, we just love the church so much. We just love God's people so much. We just have such a burden. The perspective changed because they got God's heart. And they were loving people before, but there was a bit of a barrier because they thought, well, things should be done like this, or we should be more organic, or house church, or whatever it was. And even if they were right on everything, I don't think they were, but even if they were right on everything, they didn't have God's heart for the church. I'm working on a book that addresses some major issues in one part of the church that I see. And I told Nancy, I said, I can't write this as God's policeman. I can't write this as like, this is wrong. And I'm the one that's going to correct everybody, right? I'm the one that's supposed to do it. No, it's got to be with a heart of love. It's got to be with a heart that really grieves over things that are wrong, that cares for people, and that sees God's people as sheep. And sometimes there's sheep in need of shepherds, and sometimes the shepherds are in need of shepherds. And again, there's a difference between speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. I don't just want to be right. I want to have God's heart as well. I want to share his burden as well. And I want to encourage you, friends, in your interaction on social media, in your interaction with one another face-to-face, in your prayers one for another, in your looking at areas in the body that concern you, ask God for a fresh baptism of love. Ask God for a burden that would reflect his heart. Look, Jesus paid a great price for us, didn't he? And he paid a price based on love. He didn't pay a price based on theological correctness. In other words, he didn't say, well, Father, it is theologically correct based on our plan that I die for these people, and that is the only means of atonement. Oh, it's true that this was the only satisfactory means of atonement and that this had been laid out as the plan of God before the foundation of the world, but it was not theological correctness that nailed Jesus to the cross. It was our sins, and in a sense, because he gave himself for our sins, it was his love that nailed him to the cross or held him to the cross. He did it for us out of love. So trust me, I would not have spent the years that I did studying languages and still studying languages. I would not have a massive library of commentaries and write commentaries myself. I would not dig into theology and theological issues and differences and nuances day and night if I didn't care about theology, if I didn't care about doctrine, if I didn't care about rightly interpreting Scripture. Of course, those things are essential. Those things are foundational. Those things are non-negotiable. Without a proper understanding of the Word and a sound theology, we'd just be like ships at sea without a rudder and just blown about by the wind in every direction. No, I'm not downplaying any of that. But we can be correct and yet wrong in God's sight. We can be right in calling someone out because they're in sin, but grieve God in the process. There can be a harshness. There can be a judgmentalism. There can be a negative attitude of condescension, looking down at somebody. There could be a rebuke just because we're bothered by something. You know, I might be upset with somebody. Maybe I'm on a plane and they are really, really big and they are kind of all over my seat. It's a small plane and I'm sitting next to somebody and they are all over my seat and it's an inconvenience and it's not right. And why didn't they have to pay for two seats? And I can have all those attitudes, right? But most of all, I should thank this poor person. Man, they're killing themselves with their massive overweight. That should be the thing that burdens me the most. I just saw somebody attack me falsely for something. Some person I actually reached out to, and they attacked me falsely and incorrectly. And I thought, oh, come on, man. I'm reaching out to you to try to help and try to have honest dialogue and interaction. And then the next emotion was, boy, this poor person, they're only hurting themselves. I want to see them blessed. I want to see them do well. When people hurt you and they come against you and they're in sin and they're angry and they're not acting in a Christ-like way, sure, it can hurt you. But then love says, man, I'm concerned about that person because ultimately they're hurting themselves and I love them and I want to see what's best for them. Friends, we need a fresh baptism of love. I know I'm speaking to many of you. Obviously, this is always relevant, but I feel in particular especially relevant. We come back, I want to open up the scriptures. I want to look at some relevant verses about loving one another. Friends, we need to grow in the love of God. It's true.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire. This is a special broadcast, a call to love one another. This is Michael Brown. Just felt burdened to get into this with you today as you listen to these words. Just pray for me if you think of it for a moment that God would give me grace as I'm traveling over to Israel for 2 days in Israel and then 2 days in Germany and then back home, God willing, on Sunday and back in the studio on Monday. We should have special broadcasts, special interviews coming away from Israel and Germany this week. But this has just been on my heart. And I look around sometimes in the body. I'm often interacting on social media. It's painful to see how people treat each other. It's painful to see the ugly ways that they so freely judge each other. It's painful to see the way they talk down to one another and how narrow they can be in their thinking about who's saved and who's not saved. And trust me, I'm not talking about public figures here. I'm talking about the way we deal with each other just as brothers and sisters in our interaction. And we're so quick to judge and we're so quick to throw stones. I'm talking about an unhealthy judgment, an unhealthy judgmentalism. All right, let's take a look at the words of Jesus. In John the 13th chapter, this is where he famously washes his disciples' feet. Notice how the chapter starts. John 13:1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. You know, Jesus was so far beyond anything the disciples could comprehend or imagine. And he knew that and understood that. And they're constantly not getting it and getting things wrong. And he's grieved at times. I mean, the one account when he's in the boat with them and says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And they have a discussion and says, well, it's because we didn't bring bread. And there's got to be kind of a sigh from the Lord, like, oh, boys, do you remember when I fed the 5,000? How many fishes and loaves did we have after? Well, yeah, well, it's true. And the 4,000? Okay, you don't mean actual leaven. You're talking about like something spiritual here? Is that what you mean? I mean, they blew it over and over, especially Peter. And yet you have such a sense of affection that the Lord had for them. In Luke 22, it tells us at the Last Supper that he says to his disciples, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. Wow. I mean, we can all say out loud, wow, to that. These were his friends. He said, I call you friends. And what does he say in John 15? Greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So there is this extraordinary love that Jesus has for his own, and he wants us to have it. If he could have it, you say, well, he's God. Well, think of it like this. If he could have it knowing our sin, if he could love us that deeply, knowing us better than we know ourselves, if he could love us that deeply despite the infinite gulf between a human being and God, how much more should we be able to love each other? Because we're all in the same boat. We're all human beings in all of our weakness. Surely if he could love us, we could love one another. So as we go down in John 13, after he washes their feet and then teaches them, he says this, after saying one's going to betray him, and he goes on, John 13, verse 33, "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jewish leaders, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Boy, I mean, I'm just getting hit between the eyes with the reality of these verses that we all know so well. This is a critical moment. Jesus is about to be betrayed by Judas. Satan has entered into him. Text tells us a few verses earlier. He's about to go to the cross. These are weighty words. These words must have been so deeply embedded in their psyches for the rest of their lives. "A new command I give you." This is a command from the Savior about to depart this world. "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Well, how has the Lord loved us? How deeply has he loved us? How sacrificially has he loved us? How selflessly has he loved us? That's how I'm to love you, and that's how you're to love me. I loved in the past getting callers, especially listening on one station in the New York and D.C. area, well, two different stations, and some of the callers, they'd call and they said, "Dr. Brown, I was so mad at you last week. You had this guest. I didn't like this guest at all, but I can't stay mad at you. I just love you too much." That just would warm my heart, and I'd feel the same towards others. Like, I'm not mad at you ever. No, that's not the issue. I may be disappointed someone's conduct, or no, but I love you. What I do is out of love. How did Jesus love us? That's how we have to love each other. And then the really devastating part: "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And he warns, Paul warns us in Galatians 5, "If you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you are consumed by one another." Can I just pray, Lord, would you give us a fresh baptism of love for your people? A fresh baptism that would cause us and help us to love each other as you loved us. Would you grant us repentance for persistent sin of lack of love, and grant us a fresh baptism of your love, that what we do and speak, how we live, would be based and grounded in love. Father, would you help us? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, friends, have you taken advantage of a really special offer this week? A wonderful practical book on reaching Jehovah's Witnesses and cults by Dr. Mark Stengler and Mark Stengler Jr. 250 pages. It sells for $16.99. It is as practical as anything I've seen on the subject. But when you help us with your generous gift this week, when you help us as we stand to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel and reach out around the world and send out laborers around the world, as you help us, I'm sending this as my thank you gift. So do what you can, pray, be generous, but for your gift of any size, I want to send this out as my thank you gift to each of you. We're doing it all the month of June, but take advantage of it now so you don't forget. Go to the website right now, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on donate.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, this is Michael Brown, and yes, you are listening to The Line of Fire. Boy, I really sense the favor of God on this subject that I want to address today, the calling to love one another as Jesus has loved us. I am en route to Israel as you hear these words as I'm speaking to you now. It is 1:30 in the morning. I have specially prepared this before leaving for Israel, so I can't take calls. We haven't figured out yet how to broadcast live from 35,000 feet. I'll tell you, it'd be a pretty noisy broadcast if we did with airplane sounds, right? Take in every word. Go to the website later today. Go to thelineoffire.org and click on listen, and you'll hear one whole hour talking about this subject, the call to love one another as the Lord has loved us. I want to tell you a story from my own life. Before I was saved, among my many character failings was an extreme jealous temper. And I mean extreme. I would become another person. People just couldn't deal with me. In fact, my best friends gave me a nickname. Remember, we were drug-using lost hippies at that time, 15, 16-year-olds. But they gave me a nickname. They called me Crag the Evil Genie. You know, like some genie came out of a bottle. I got so ugly. I would get so vicious with my words and just, I'd lose it, just angry and lashing out and attacking. And it was this possessive, jealous temper. And it was like I became another person. And that's why my friends gave me that nickname. Well, once I got saved, I realized I still had to deal with this. And it flared up a few different times. And I just lashed out at someone if I felt that, you know, acted wrong towards me or I was possessive over them. And, you know, some girl I liked and, you know, she liked somebody else. And it was stupid. It was idiotic. It was ridiculous. It was fleshly. It is absolutely embarrassing to even think that was me. But that was me. And, of course, that temper could flare in other ways. But it got really bad at certain times. Well, there was this girl in the church I liked a little. And to be totally honest with you, there's only one girl in my entire life that I've ever loved, and that's my wife, Nancy. And there's only, so this is, you know, this typical teenage infatuation back then, right? So I thought, you know, she wasn't nice because she was talking to some other guy, whatever it was. I laid into her after a service like she was. It was after a prayer meeting. I went to a prayer meeting. I prayed for an hour. And afterwards, that's how hard my heart got. And I went and kind of lashed into her. And, you know, she was didn't even want to talk to me. And actually, you know, went downstairs in the church. You know, since she had to use the bathroom, went downstairs and climbed out a window. Here she was wearing a dress for the church. Climbed out the window. Yes, this is embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. But that's how upset I was, and she just didn't want to talk with me afterwards. And I finally thought, wait, she didn't come up from downstairs. And I went outside, and she was, you know, standing outside, and, you know, just was telling her she was wrong again and all this. Well, she happened to be the pastor's oldest daughter. And the pastor and his wife didn't say a word to me because we were in services regularly. So, you know, Sunday morning service, Monday night prayer meeting, Tuesday night service, and this happened where I lashed out at her. I still even tell this. It's very embarrassing, but I felt I needed to share this story with you. So the next night is church service, Tuesday night, right? And during the worship, we would always have a prayer time, right? Sing a couple of hymns, prayer requests, and then different ones would lead out in prayer and pray for this need, pray for that need, pray for this situation, that situation. And if you had a prayer request that you couldn't say what it was for, you know, you couldn't announce it publicly, you would call it a special unspoken request. Ah, you see where this is going. All right, I'll finish this up on the other side of the break.
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. If you're just tuning in, today's subject, love one another, not taking any calls, going through some scripture and sharing some personal stories and illustrations. So let me pick up from where I was. So I'm fairly newly saved. I'm 60, maybe barely 17 years old. I'm upset with the pastor's oldest daughter. Liked her a little bit at one point, and then I think she said she didn't like anybody else, and I found out she liked somebody else, and I got mad at her, and I had this terrible temper before I was saved. Just horrific, and especially when these possessive emotions would click in. It didn't matter if I had any relationship to the person. I could still have these possessive emotions or this jealous anger or whatever it was. And so this particular night, a Monday night, I was upset with this gal. Went to prayer meeting, prayed an hour, and I was angry the whole time I prayed, then ripped into her afterwards, and not yelling and screaming, but just telling her she's wrong, and I really hurt people with my tongue. It was venomous before the Lord really gave me grace and turned my heart. And by the way, when my temper flared up a few times in my early days in the Lord, and I sinned, and I gave way to it, I asked my pastor to pray for me. I'm going to finish the story in a minute, but I asked my pastor to pray for me, thinking, man, I need deliverance. Man, I need God to really set me free from this thing. It's like some demonic stronghold in my life. I remember he just prayed. He said, God, give Mike what he needs, or help him with whatever he's struggling with. Some little prayer like that. And I thought, what? What? He didn't like rebuke the devil or pray this major prayer. And I thought, oh, all right. I started to meditate on Scripture, and I saw in Scripture that in Proverbs 16, better a patient man than a warrior, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. And I thought, okay, and I've shared this in the past, but I realized, okay, I have to rule my spirit. I have to rule my spirit. There's something in my nature and my makeup that can get a certain way, and I have to rule it. And by God's grace, it's been ruled for decades, and that ugly temper has hardly ever flared up in decades and hardly at all in years and years. And that's certainly God's grace at work. And God can give you grace, whatever areas there are in your attitude, your character, your behavior. God can give us grace to master those. So anyway, Monday night, I sin against this young lady. Maybe she's like a year younger than me or something, and just nasty and all of this. Next day, pastor didn't call me. It was his oldest daughter. Nothing happened. He didn't say, Mike, let's have a talk. No, nothing at all. Get to the service that night, and during the worship time, pastor's prayer requests, and pastor's wife says, I have special unspoken. And I thought, wait a second. That's me. That's me. You don't have the guts to say, pray for Mike Brown because he has a bad temper. Pray for Mike Brown because he was nasty to my daughter, because I'm still hot. I'm still upset, you know? And so she's a special unspoken. And it turned out that that's what it was for. It was for me. But it wasn't out of anger. It was out of love because they loved me. They cared about me. They wanted to see the best for me. They were patient with me in my ignorance and my foolishness. My arrogance, whatever other junk I brought with me, those precious people cared about me. They loved me, and that was what motivated her. So I found out afterwards that's what it was for. So I'm hot. I'm hot again. Not as hot as I was the night before, but I'm frustrated. And comes time for the message, and the pastor gets up. Now he was more of a preacher than a teacher, but this particular night, he just opened up the Bible and started to teach from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And as he was speaking, the Holy Spirit nailed me with devastating conviction. Oh, my! Of course, the King James, the word love, was translated charity. But let me read to you from a modern translation. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Can I add a few more things to that? If I grow the biggest church in the world, if I lead more people to Jesus than anyone, If I memorize the entire Bible, if I can teach on any of 1,000 different subjects, if I write 50 books, I would just go down the list, put in whatever it is that you do best and that makes people think you're something. If I do all that and not have love, then I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And then the pastor just begins to read. That was my little commentary. I just added in some other things. Then he was reading and kind of teaching. And like I said, he was more of a preacher than a teacher, so he could get animated. No, not this night. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It is not easily angered. It is not easily angered. Oh yeah, trust me. Those words were hitting home. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I'm fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So as the pastor preached, initially I thought, okay, he's doing this for me. He's doing this for me. I still had my attitude. But as he read the words and as he spoke, the Holy Spirit began to nail me. Oh, I cannot describe how intense the conviction was. But you know, like in the old days, you cry uncle, or today's terminology, you tap out. You know, okay, I quit. I can't take it. You win. I started crying out, God, okay, I'm wrong. I sinned. I'm so sorry. I'll fix this. I'll make this right. I'll ask for God. You win. I'm wrong. I'm bad. What I did was really bad. It was ugly. Okay, let him stop the message. That message over. You don't have to finish the chapter. I repent. We're done. I mean, that's how intense it was. Like, oh, please end this message. This is too intense. Please stop the message. And the words just piercing my heart. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Wow. 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 Soon as the service was over, I went up to the pastor immediately, and I said, I am so sorry. I sinned. It was cruel to your daughter. I don't remember the exact words at all. You know what I remember? He just smiled at me. He'd already forgiven me. The family never held it against me. Never, ever. They didn't. And just loved me and helped me grow in God and helped me mature in the Lord. And, of course, we've been friends with the family all the years after. And now, you know, the pastor, you know, all getting on in years and probably ready to be with the Lord soon. And the pastor's wife, she's still going strong, but, you know, older as well. You know, of course, I'm 62. The daughter, around 60, 61, all following Jesus to this day. But he just smiled at me. And he brought that message, obviously felt burdened to bring that message and brought it. I'm sure it was for others, but it was certainly for me. Oh, the conviction of the Spirit and the transforming power of love. Maybe, could it be that as I was reading 1 Corinthians 13 to some of you, that the Holy Spirit was lovingly nailing you, that you've been cruel to a spouse, that you've walked in an attitude of hardness towards a brother or sister, that the Lord's convicting you of lack of love for his people? Could it be that same conviction that spoke to me is speaking to you today? If so, confess your sins to God, acknowledge your guilt, repent, and he'll give you grace, and he will. He'll turn your heart. He'll do it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, this is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire, a special show I felt to put together before leaving for Israel. If you just lift up a prayer for me when you have a moment for grace on this trip to Israel, 2 days in Israel and then 2 days in Germany, God willing, and then back home on Sunday. Right now, as I speak to you, it's almost 2 in the morning as I've put this show together. But I just somehow felt that it was especially important. Now, look, I understand you can teach on love and the call to love one another any day of the week, any time, and it's going to be relevant. It's going to speak to people. These are ongoing needs. But I've just been stirred up about it more deeply as I see the lack of love that exists in the body towards one another. Look, let's look at it like this. If you and I are going to be in eternity together, right, that's the biggest issue, correct? In other words, if we're part of God's family, if he's forgiven you and he's forgiven me, and we're brothers and sisters, we're part of the same family, then that's the biggest factor in terms of how we view each other. Now, we might have certain differences on doctrines or practice. We may have differences in terms of our burden or expression. But if we're in the same family, then whatever differences we have should be marked by that familial love, should be marked by that love that you have for a brother or for a sister. You know, you can have a blood brother and sister and really differ on something deeply, but hey, you're flesh and blood. And that deep love, you know, blood is thicker than water, that deep love permeates everything. Well, there's a supernatural love that God calls us to have one for another. And it's something that we make a choice to exercise, and then we ask God to give us that grace so that we walk this out and live this out. And I just want to tell you, it's possible. No, I do not believe for a split second that I've attained the perfect love of God for the body. No. I know plenty of people who have much deeper love for brothers and sisters than I do, who put me to shame in terms of having a pastoral heart. But I want to say that I really do care about people. That even though I haven't met 99.99999% of you who listen to this show, I feel a real love for you, a real tenderness for you, a real shepherd's heart for you, wanting you to do well and wanting you to make it in the Lord and wanting you to be strong. And that's not who I've always been. You know what I'm saying? That the love in my heart is something that has deepened. And when I first got saved, I had a very special love for the brothers and sisters in the body. And one reason was I prayed for them every single day. I prayed for lots of different things every single day. But one of the things I prayed for was every single person that was part of that congregation. Even if they only came, you know, once a month or something, if I know who they were and knew their names, I prayed for them every single day. And I did that, I don't know, probably a couple of years. And that deepens your affection, that deepens your heart for others. Let's take a look in 1 John. Let's look at the language of 1 John here. John writes, 1 John 2:7. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one. which you've had since the beginning. The old command is the message you've heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. And he goes on from there. This is something that we are called to throughout the scripture, and in particular throughout the New Testament. And in the third chapter of 1 John, the theme is resumed. 1 John 3:16. Let's back this up a little bit. First John 3:14. We know that we've passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus the Messiah laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and with truth. And then again, 1 John, it comes up once more, the fourth chapter, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. But we need God's grace to do this. I'd encourage you to meditate on the key passages. Read through 1 John and meditate on it. Read through 1 Corinthians 13 if you can. Memorize it. Write it out by hand. That'll help you to memorize it. Speak it over. Pray it over yourself. I would pray that over myself every day, and did that probably several years straight without missing a day. Among other prayers, I would pray for the qualities of 1 Corinthians 13 to be in my life, to have that love. And as I've walked with the Lord over the years, I've seen that love deepen. I pray, my friend, that God would give you that love for husband, for wife, for child, for friend, for someone in the body you're going through a hard time with. And I can tell you, you will get hurt when you love like this, but it's getting hurt the way Jesus did. It's a pain, it's a wound that bleeds love. And it's redemptive. And I've been hurt by people and loved them, and that love has transformed them. And I'm sure I've hurt people and they've loved me, and that love has transformed me. Step higher. What you post on social media, what you share with others, what you speak behind closed doors, let it be moved and motivated and baptized and bathed in love. Let us love not in word or deed alone, but in action and in truth. May it be so, friends. I pray that this broadcast will help you. Again, go to thelineoffire.org. Later today, you can listen to one full hour talking about this. And when you're there, make sure you take advantage of a special offer, a wonderful book on reaching the cults, 250 pages, sells for $16.99, reaching Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, practical, edifying, eye-opening. Your gift of any size, pray, do what you can to help us. Your gift of any size to help us in our outreach to the Jewish people and the world. This is my thank you gift to you. Take advantage of it. It's on the website, thelineoffire.org. Father God, give us a fresh baptism of love for one another. May we love as Jesus loved us.